Welcome to Place and Experience. Indulge your senses with immersive game titles. Boost the excitement with our engaging promotional tools and generous network promotions. Be in control with XI Viewport Management Tool and experience seamless gameplay powered by X Platform. Enjoy Place and Experience as our partners do in over 20 regulated markets. And get ready to go big. Big play is on. Clayson.
Well, there you have it. And let me say right at the top of the show, thank you very much to Clayson for supporting us and keeping us coming back here every week. Although I say every week, I wasn't here last week, but the one man who was is my partner in crime, the one and only Mr. Nico Jansen, and he's back with us today. Nico, the dynamic duo is back in action. How are you, brother?
Yeah, so as of now, it's the next-gen dynamic duo. So the old-school dynamic duo has delivered last week, but we are the next-gen dynamic duo. So welcome to the show, each and everybody. Looking forward to your comments in the chat. Looking forward to each and everybody challenging us. And as done so often, we will just update you on the latest and greatest and discuss each and everything you are desperately looking for within my man, Connor Mull here. Connor, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well, Nico. Thank you. And you quite rightly point out, yes, please do keep the comments coming in. Let us know what you want to hear about. Let us know if we get anything wrong or if you just want to tell us how devilishly handsome we are, then that's fine too, isn't it, Nico?
Indeed it is.
We're going to have a pretty special episode today. We've got a UK special coming up because yesterday we had some updates from the world famous, highly respected Gambling Commission, who everybody loves. And we got some updates on one of the most controversial elements of the White Paper Gambling Act review here in the UK. That is, of course, the so-called affordability checks. But we're going to come on to that in just a few minutes because first, Nico, are you ready? Nobody does it quite like you. The biggest headlines of the week coming at you live and direct, courtesy of Nico Jansen with his 10 in 5. Nico?
Exactly, and I was born ready, mate. So, Tipico reportedly close to selling its US sportsbook. The sports betting and online casino provider Tipico is about to sell its proprietary US-facing sports betting platform, according to a report in the Earnings and More newsletter. The Tipico sportsbook platform is a standalone product in the US that is separate from the Malta-based company European Operations. And needless to say, the founders are from Germany, Karlsruhe, which is highly respected. Each and everybody knows Karlsruhe, or if you don't mind. So, this isn't the first time that reports have tutored a sale of Tipico sportsbook. Back in June 2022, sports merchandise company Fanatics was said to be in discussion to acquire the sportsbook operation. As of now, it's suggested that MGM Resorts, Resorts is a likely buyer. And why? Because Tipico owns the software and MGM just wants to get rid of their deal with Kambi. So, an update on the tracking Ohtani's stolen money directly connects the ex-interpreter to a Knicks illegal gambling ring. So, baseball is knocking the door, and the question of how connected the Ipai Misura, Scott Sibella, and Wayne Knicks illegal gambling cases are answered on Tuesday, the 30th. So, just Tuesday, 2 days ago, Misura's gambling debts payment were washed through the resorts, World Las Vegas and Pechanga casinos, by an illegal bookmaker in the Knicks gambling ring, which is directly linking the three cases. And Misura, who is the baseball star Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, bet with an illegal bookie who was part of that ring. And Misuhara allegedly stole $16 million from Ohtani and racked up $40 million in gambling debts. So it's quite interesting. And I'm pretty sure it's not the last time we will hear about that topic. There are some conspiracy going on. But for sure, it's quite interesting as an interpreter is able to turn on debts of $40 million, which will not happen in the UK with the new and upcoming affordability checks. This one is for sure. So heading over as the Flutter shareholders vote at AGM to move the primary listing to the New York Stock Exchange, the NYSE. Petty Power owner will make a switch to its natural home by May in a further blow to London Stock Exchange. And investors at its annual meeting on Wednesday voted 89% in favor of the gambling company making the switch from the London Stock Exchange to New York. And guess what? Why do they actually do it? First of all, the US is the land of opportunity. But on a different note, in the US, valuation and executive pay can be higher. Maybe that's also a driving force. We don't know, but we will see. Then, quite interesting, as 888 withdrew a controversial AdWords, which they had been done at the London Transport Network. So London buses and tubes will no longer carry the AdWords. If you just come across one of these AdWords, it's quite interesting, as it was very prominently labeled inside the TFL, so the tubes. It's like 888, this tube is now a casino. Of course, there might be slightly misunderstanding of player protection. As of now, 888 said I'm sorry, and they removed it all. Belly's Q1 financials. So Belly has published its Q1 results and what CEO Robeson Reeves called a solid start to the year. Unfortunately, the favorable performance across several segments was offset by a loss of $174 million, triggering a decline in the company's share price. As we all know, company share prices and the stocks react quite significantly as soon as bad news hit the fan. MGM reports a consolidated Q1 revenue of $4.4 billion, and this has been driven by MGM China and their Las Vegas operations, which is a 13% year-on-year up based on the reported $3.9 billion in 2023. Caesars, they also post positive digital performance despite a Q1 slide. Caesars Entertainment endured an underwhelming Q1 2024, including a drop in net revenue. But executives were pleased with strong progress in the online gaming and sports betting segment. So the CEO, Tom Reeg, admitted, "We're not in the habit of delivering quarters that look like this. If you look at the biggest buckets, everything that could go wrong did go wrong for us." And this is a topic we touched on so often. And fingers crossed, they will make a return. But in the end, with a quarterly revenue of $2.7 billion, I'm pretty sure we don't need to wave the white flag for MGM. Then, still staying in the U.S., as VC Properties commits a $700 million investment to transform the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas. So we will see a big renovation at the Strip of the Venetian with a budget of $700 million. Then still staying in the U.S., as multiple U.S. states are considering new betting restrictions. So first of all, based on the NCAA prop betting, a lot of states actually update bills which would ban credit cards to fund digital gambling accounts and ban college players. Prop bets have been filed. Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Wyoming, and even further to come. And last but not least, as a cliffhanger for what's coming up, the UK, which is called a light touch, affordability checks are set at £150 per month. So the Commission confirmed that the lower level, the so-called light touch, checks will be triggered at £150 per month. These checks will examine publicly available information about a customer, such as bankruptcy orders or a history of unpaid debts. And this has been my 10 at 5. And now let's dive into even more about the UKGC.
Well done, Nico. I think you can take a very well-deserved little rest of your voice now. Lots going on this week. Some pretty stark comments from Tom Rieg there on Caesar's performance. He said everything that could go wrong did. He said it. They got their butt kicked all across the market, I think, something like this. So, yes, lots of interesting stories. But the biggest story of the week, especially for those of us here in London and in the rest of the UK, is, as you mentioned, the Gambling Commission's response to white paper consultations on so-called affordability or financial vulnerability checks. Now, Nico, this is something we've been hearing lots about ever since the white paper came out last year. And it's been a major cause for concern among operators in the UK industry. So obviously, those propositions went out to public consultation so that stakeholders, members of the public, everybody could have their say on what they thought about affordability checks. And the Gambling Commission has gathered all those responses and now issued its response to the consultation. So, yes, it confirmed, as you said, that light touch frictionless checks will be triggered at £150 per month in gambling spend. I believe, Nico, that's net deposits. So if you deposit £100 and win £500 and then gamble all that away again, that's okay because your net deposits are still only £100. So that works out at £5 a day, doesn't it, really? So pretty low levels for the first tier of checks. But I would say, in my experience, probably most gamblers in the UK are very casual, just like me. They probably deposit less than £150 a month. I know I do most months. Maybe if there's a lot of racing going on, Cheltenham Festival or something, maybe I'll deposit a little bit more than that. But it's not something that most customers will be impacted by, I don't think. Although, of course, regular gamblers will have these checks carried out. But not yet, because what we should mention is that first and foremost, from August, the thresholds are going to be set at £500 a month, and then they'll be reduced to £150 in February next year. So there's a bit of time for the industry to get used to all this and get a bit of practice, so to speak, at carrying out these checks. But the point is that they really should be totally frictionless. And as you said, Nico, it's going to be sort of credit reference agency information, I think. So if a customer has gone bankrupt or has a history of unpaid debts, then that will probably trigger further investigations to make sure that they're not suffering harm by gambling at that level. Now, that's the first tier, the lower tier of checks. The Gambling Commission has also announced that a trial period, a pilot study, is going to run for 6 months for a higher tier of checks, a more intensive kind of check. And so for 6 months, they're going to do this initial study with, I think, a limited pool of customers to test the functionality of data sharing using techniques like open banking and trying to make sure that all works well. So after the pilot study finishes, the Gambling Commission said it would decide whether to implement the checks on a permanent basis. But it promised it would not implement them permanently until checks are frictionless for the vast majority of customers. And another thing that they mentioned was that none of these checks, no matter which level, the higher level or the lower level, none of the checks will affect customers' credit scores, which I think will be a relief to lots of customers. Now, we've got some more to talk about with the Betting and Gaming Council's interim code. We'll come onto that in just a minute. But Nico, what's your take on all this? £150 a month, low-level checks, pilot study for the higher-level checks. What's your response?
So first of all, these 150 light touch information which are collected are based on publicly available information. So it's not like a hidden database. Mm-hmm. But it will be interesting how the industry, the operators, will deal with it, because they will not be able to access these publicly available information as usually. You know, the operations, it's a quite sophisticated IT system, and they are, and I know they are looking forward, not looking forward, but they need to get this information by service provider, like the ID Nows of this world, and they will provide these information. So as soon as you're hitting, and that's totally correct, that's 150 net deposit per month, as soon as you just hit that barrier, these checks will be ongoing in the background. We've seen this in Germany as well. As soon as you will increase your monthly deposit to more than 1,000 euros asset net deposit, you also need to run these affordability checks. Guess what? You don't need to run these affordability checks in black market operations. And this usually results in, as you are offering a non-frictionless check. So the customer needs to, you know, leave the regular IT system, his regular habitat, and he or she needs to upload like a bank statement, a salary slip, whatever. They do not. And then they just shut down their account and head over to the black markets operations where it's not checked. Is it good? Is it bad? First of all, channelization rate is significantly lowering. So in Germany, we're speaking about 40% channelization rate, although GGL, the regulatory body in Germany, denies these numbers, of course. I'm pretty sure we will see some of the players actually leaving the markets as well, as they are like, hey, it's my money. As soon as my credit cards gives me still the opportunity to deposit money into my account, why do you actually need to run further investigations on my end? Of course, it's still stigmatized. As soon as it comes to gaming and gambling, it's all the bad people ripping off customers. First of all, non-gaming operator forces anyone to deposit any money anywhere. So in the iGaming space, gaming always and only happens on a money on account basis. So if you don't have money on your account, you can't gamble. Pretty simple. Guess what? There is a video which went viral in the US. A girl, she wanted to get married, didn't work out. Then instead of celebrating her wedding, she hopped on a plane listening to a Taylor Swift concert in Old Man's Texas. And these tickets have cost her $3,000 US. I'm pretty sure whoever just sold the tickets didn't ask for an affordability check. But as long as you're able to actually listen and see the performance of Taylor Swift, no questions asked. So this is something we always need to keep in mind. At £150 spent on a monthly basis, you will run these affordability checks while you can spend money big time anywhere else and no questions asked. And I'm just throwing this one out there.
Yeah, and we should say that the data is extremely lacking when it comes to Taylor Swift related harm. So we should be looking into that, I think, as a society. But that's a discussion for another day, Nico. So we've got a new headline up and a new QR code in the corner if you want to check out this story, which is that customers will not be required to upload documents during the affordability pilot. As you mentioned, Nico, sometimes in Germany, for example, you've got these requirements for people to upload their bank statements and things. The UK GC has been pretty emphatic on the fact that that will not happen in the UK, especially not for the vast majority of customers, because in the meantime, as we mentioned, we have these kind of pilot study periods, these interim periods, where everything's going to be tested and all the rest of it. So what has the Betting and Gaming Council, the BGC, said about all this? They are very closely involved in the development of these policies. And they are, of course, a trade association that represents probably 90%+ of the regulated UK industry. So all the big hitters, your Flutters, your Entains, Kindreds and all the rest of it, 888, these are all members of the BGC. And they have released an interim industry code for affordability checks during this kind of in-between period, where they will undertake more research and more intense checks into customers who spend more than £5,000 per month or £25,000 in a rolling 12-month period. So much, much higher limits there. The point of that, I think, was to just get a kind of minimum baseline level for all operators across the regulated sector, because it has been quite inconsistent up until now. That's kind of part of the point of bringing in these affordability checks, is to give some consistency across the industry. So under the voluntary industry code, only those customers wishing to spend more than £25,000 in any rolling 12-month period will have to provide financial documents to demonstrate they are not at financial risk. And when they do that, at that point, the operators will be obliged to undertake a risk assessment to determine whether markers of harm are being displayed. So the CEO of the Gambling Commission, Andrew Rhodes, said, "This voluntary code will help ensure a consistent and transparent approach for consumers across participating operators, where customer spend is the trigger for action. The thresholds in the code represent a set of minimum standards agreed by operators, including backstops where they will consider and engage with customers where necessary." So it's all a bit of a mix. We've got lots of different limits flying around. It's going to be £500 for a soft check. Then that's going to go down to 150. Then we have higher, more intensive checks at higher spend levels. You've got this £5,000 a month, £25,000 a year limit. So it's a little bit complicated for the time being. I think the point overall, Nico, is that it's all about test at this point. And I hope that if the evidence, say in 6 months' time, I hope if the evidence suggests that the regulated market is losing a lot of customers to unregulated operators, then the Gambling Commission will be forced to reconsider, basically. And indeed, yesterday, the Gambling Commission did a press briefing with the industry press. So Next.io and a few other brands that you may be aware of were invited to a meeting online with some Gambling Commission head honchos, Andrew Rhodes, the CEO, and Tim Miller, executive director. And they told us that the frictionless aspect of all this is the most important thing. So Tim Miller said, "Once we get to the end of the trial period and we have a stronger understanding of how the different designs work, then we will be able to make decisions as to whether we can go ahead with changes to the license conditions and codes of practice. If we can't deliver on white paper proposals, then clearly we will have to reflect on that and think again." So, Nico, based on your experience in other markets, do you think they'll be able to bring in these checks in a way that really don't impact the customer experience, in a kind of frictionless, almost invisible way where customers needn't worry?
It just depends on the database, on the underlying database. So when preparing for the call, as of now, I'm not aware of any database in the UK which you can just use. So somewhere this data needs to come from. Maybe it's open banking, service solution providers who actually, you know, on behalf of the customers, just if the customers allows, are just scanning your bank account, like the latest transaction, how high your salary is, what kind of credit score you will have. So as long as this is a service which will be implemented, a reliable and trustworthy service which will be implemented in the UK as well, and will be accepted by the customers as they are trusting these services, This could work as an example for Germany. We already have a service solution like this. It's called the Schufa. So as soon as you sign up for anything based on a monthly reoccurring payment, like your mobile carrier, your T-Mobiles, your Three, your Vodafones, your Sky subscription, as soon as you want to sign up for these services, your data will be transferred to the Schufa. And the Schufa also has access to your bank account as well. So they can evaluate your credit score instantly in real time. So people in Germany are quite aware of Schufa existing. It is quite interesting, as nobody actually knows how the scoring works. It also depends on the area you're actually living. So if the overall salary or the average salary in the area you're living in is quite high, you will get a higher score while having the same income and you're just living in a lower average score area, your overall credit score will be significantly lower. So as you can't deny your data being carried out to Schufa, there has been a ruling of the European Court which stated no more data should be sent automatically to Schufa, as nobody can deny, actually, as of now, before the court ruling, to deny, I don't want my data being shared with Schufa. So if you don't want your data being shared with Schufa, you will not be able to sign up for mobile carrier service. You will not be able to sign up for a Sky subscription, etc. So that's a monopole power which has been given, and not a regulatory board. So it's not government owned. It's just a company, and nobody actually knew how they evaluate the credit score. So this happened in Germany. As said, that's the database which each and everybody could use in Germany. And I'm pretty sure, it will be quite interesting which kind of database they will use in the UK. As said, open banking, there are several solutions with logging into your bank account as well. And it's all based on trust. And if we can, or if they will be able to establish that trust, I'm pretty sure it will work.
Yeah. There you go. Interesting comparison with Germany. I think it will be open banking based in all likelihood. But that's what the trial period is going to be all about, is testing these different methods. Now, I think just before we move on, I've had a look today at some of the major UK operators' share prices just to see if this had an impact on them. And it seems to me, Nico, that this was pretty much priced in. Nobody's had, you know, it's not like everyone's lost 10% of their market cap or anything like this. It seems like, if anything, I think the response has been pretty positive. So there you have it. That's the end of our discussion on affordability checks. Let us know your thoughts in the comments, and we'll be back with another story from the UK in just a few seconds after this short video.
Tens of thousands of games, hundreds of studios, dozens of hub market partners, an industry-leading hub wallet, and just one API. Hub 88 is connecting businesses to a world of limitless content where the possibilities are endless. Hub 88.
Well, there you go. And thank you to Hub 88 for your support and for keeping us coming back every single week. Now, Nico, I think you have another story for us all about the potential for the creation of a gambling ombudsman in the UK. What's been going on there?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. So first of all, So if you're facing an issue with an operator, like, okay, you just signed up for a bonus program, or you have the feeling that you should have won the bet, or that something was going on in the slots or whatever, you can file a complaint. As of now, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the UK, these complaints can be handed in to a regulatory body. And of course, this regulatory body needs to deal with quite a lot of these quite a lot of these complaints. And we are speaking about 2,000 complaints on a yearly basis as of now. And it's the resolution providers, which are currently registered for the UK Gambling Commission, the UK GC. And as of now, and based on the latest also court rulings anywhere else, I'm speaking about Denmark, Malta, Germany, etc., they are planning to come up with a solution of an ombudsman. So an ombudsman is someone, a third party, where you can file a complaint, and then this ombudsman is collecting all the data to actually value, okay, what was going on, what was the bet, how was the bet settled, etc. So the ombudsman is gaining all the information, and then this ombudsman will get in touch with the operator and try to resolve this overall issue. The most often related issues are social responsibility breaches, gambling harm, and safer gambling. So this is where it's actually government. And the government said that the new ombudsman would be up and running within 1 year. However, so far there has been no significant progress. And the UK Dispute Resolution Service, which is the independent betting you know it way better. Shortly, IBAS. I'm just dealing with the Twitter handles. So said it is ready to step into the ombudsman role with a robust consumer-focused plan, pending the support of key stakeholders and agreement of an appropriate funding model. With decades of experience as a trusted independent educator in the gambling sector, IBAS is uniquely positioned to lend its expertise to establish a robust and independent body, so the organization said.
Yeah, this is it, Nico. So I think it was something, this has been a discussion in the UK for a while now, but it was also something that was included in the government white paper last year. So when they published the white paper, as well as all this stuff about affordability checks and state limits and all the rest of it, the establishment of a gambling ombudsman was one of the promises they made. And as you pointed out, they said at the time that it would be up and running within a year. Well, it's been a year, and what's happened? Nothing. So it's come back around. People are starting to talk again about setting this up, as the government promised. And you're absolutely right. IBAS is already a kind of dispute resolution service for bettors. And basically, they're throwing their hat in the ring and saying, well, if there's going to be an officially government-sanctioned ombudsman, because right now IBAS is an independent organisation, they're saying if the government's going to sanction anyone to do it, it should be us. All we need is the right funding in place and the right agreement, and we can make it work. But it kind of comes about, I think that, you know, there's two different lines of complaint that seem to come in for operators. One of them is what you mentioned, Nico, which is perhaps, you know, maybe you put on a bet at outrageous odds and it comes in, and therefore the operator decides it doesn't want to pay out and sees if it can get away with not giving you the prize. In which case, you know, a service like IBAS is probably the right route to go down to get that money recovered. But the other kind of complaint is people who, as we've seen in I think Sweden and in Malta, as you mentioned, people saying, no, I was experiencing gambling harm at this time. I had a gambling addiction, and the company in question was encouraging me to carry on gambling. That was an irresponsible and harmful practice, and therefore I should be able to recover the funds that I lost during that time. And these cases across Europe have gone both ways in different circumstances. There was a famous case with Per Holknekt, who is an entrepreneur. Is he a Swedish entrepreneur, I think, who had a gambling problem. And I think his funds were recovered eventually. And then we had a case, was it a Dutch court a couple of weeks ago? There was a couple of brands, I think an Entain brand and a Flutter brand, were both ordered to repay customer losses that were suffered at a time when the customers were suffering gambling harm. And I think these new calls to create an ombudsman in the UK are an attempt to kind of put a more formal process in place for all this. So, you know, it's another one of those things that's very much customer focused. It's all about reducing harm, I suppose, and trying to make the industry fairer for consumers. So it's certainly one to watch. Again, nothing's really happened here, but it's just that's exactly the point that people are making. They're saying, well, it's been a year, nothing's happened. There's going to be more and more cases of players trying to, you know, sue operators to recover their winnings in the next few years. So we need to be ready for that. And that's why they're calling for the creation of an ombudsman. Is there anything like this in the markets you're familiar with, Nico? There isn't one in Germany, right?
No, there isn't one in Germany. And so it's mandatory in Malta. So every MGA license operator, they need to have an ombudsman in place already. So the thing is, what's the beauty of an ombudsman? It's pretty simple. So an ombudsman, it's two parties actually filing a complaint. One party initiating the complaint, the ombudsman being in the middle, and the other party just delivering their information as well. And then the ombudsman just decides in favor of either party A or party B. And then this complaint is solved, but in private. So as soon, and that's, as said, the beauty of the ombudsman, whenever something is solved and filed, either party A wins, party B wins, or both party wins, will be winning without losing their face. As soon as these things actually hit a court, like we've seen in the Netherlands, like we've seen in Germany as well, this is public information. So each and everybody can look up, as you already mentioned, Flutter and Entain in the Netherlands, Betano, which is one in Germany as of now. And today, there should have been a hearing in the highest court of Germany, the Bundesgerichtshof, just regarding these issues, because it's an ongoing fight for law in Germany since several years, where players can actually claim back their losses at least 5 years. And the actual situation is just based, and I'm just speaking about Germany, dated back to 2012, when the first operators in Germany, iGaming operators, started to take bets without actually holding a German license, as there was no licensing regime in Germany. And operators from Malta were able to actually use their Maltese license and operate in Germany. Bill 85 rings a bell as player claimed back their losses. So dated back to 2011, people are actually able to claim back their losses. And this is what has become a significant industry for lawyers. And nearly 75% of all complaints actually taken to court are decided in the favor of the player. Only 25% of all the player claims are then decided in the favor of the operator. So what do the players actually claim and do? They are like, oh, I had no clue that I'm dealing with a non-licensed entity. And if I would have been aware of dealing with a non-licensed entity, of course, I would have not deposited any money anymore. While the operators could do it the other way around, like, okay, as soon as we're speaking about big-time winnings, they could refuse of paying out these winnings. Like, oh, we just realized that we are operating in Germany without holding, without actually holding a license. Guess what? no operator actually ever played that card. It's just the players claiming their losses. And funny enough, there are several players who actually claim back their losses, and we're speaking about 30, 40, 50K. Guess what happened with the money? They gambled it again. So, funny enough, but that's just on a side note. So this should have been a court hearing in the Bundesgerichtshof today. It has been postponed because with that decision, this will have a significant impact on each and every operator in Germany, because what the highest court in Germany will decide will be the underlying argument of every and any other player claiming their losses. And there are already companies who have filed for insolvency paperwork in their desks. So we will just see how this one will play out and turn out. But for sure, it will change. It can possibly change the landscape of operators in Germany significantly.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll see what happens in Germany. We'll be following that story and we'll see what happens in the UK. But let me recommend before we sign off, you should go to next.io and have a look at the article that my colleague Sonia wrote about this question of the ombudsman in the UK. It's a super interesting read with lots of different points of view. So I definitely recommend that. But now I think, Nico, the time for us is up. So excuse me. Let me say thank you to Placen and to Hub 88 for keeping us coming back every week. Thank you to everybody in the audience. And Nico, most importantly, thank you very much for you for being here with me to do this every single week.
Yeah, wouldn't want to miss it. Wouldn't want to miss it. It's my highlight of the day. And thank you to you as well. Thank you to the audience, either, you know, listening to us while we are being live or listening to the podcast. You make us proud. And if we come across each other during the upcoming significant event, Next.io Valletta Summit, feel free to actually touch Connor. He likes it very much. He's a very likable person, and his smell is even more awesome. So just get back to us, you know, challenge us while we just walk across you. Always feel free to talk to us and discuss things. We are there to actually talk to you as soon as you speak up to us. Thank you.
That's right. We'll be in Malta all week for the conference in just a couple of weeks. So yes, absolutely, you're right to mention it, Nico. Please come and say hello and talk about the biggest headlines of the week with us once again. Well, there you have it, ladies and gents. Thank you all very much for joining us, Nico. Thanks again to you. And I will see you here, same place, same time next week. Bye. Bye. Bye.